The text this morning is going to be out of John 17, verses 14 through 19. I want to continue to talk on the lines of following Jesus. Last week, the title was Follow Me, and it's going to be that all through the month of October. We want to talk about what it means to follow Jesus. This prayer was said shortly before he went to the cross, and something that's always impressed me, he spent more time praying for us than he did for himself. That's how much he cares. I'm going to go ahead and read the text to you this morning. Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's the truth, it's the absolute truth, it's the only truth. And Lord, I pray today that you will take this truth to our hearts. Encourage us to stand upon your word, Lord, no matter what the world or the devil says to us. To be assured that this word is your word, and it's the word that we live by. Father, I just ask a special blessing on all who are here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Did God really say? This was the question that the devil posed to the first couple on the earth about 6,000 years ago. And if you're familiar with the Genesis story of the fall of man, that doubt that he cast in their minds caused them to eat of the tree that God told them not to eat of. And the Bible says sin and death entered the world. And that same instigator is asking the same question today. And most of the world, I dare say most of the world, is asking the same question. But what's sad is a lot of churches, professed followers of Jesus Christ are asking this same question. Did God really say? They're questioning the validity of the Word of God. I've heard over the years, well, it's an antiquated book. It's an old book. Culture has changed. People have changed. Ideas have changed. Ideologies have changed. Worldviews have changed. But you and I as Christians are not to have any of that. Our worldview is to be a biblical view. I believe that the Bible, that this book is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And I don't care what anybody else says. I have settled this in my own heart, in my own mind. And as a Christian, you're going to have to do the same thing. I'm not saying that anybody in this room hasn't. I don't know your hearts. God does. But I know the temptation. The world challenges us today. I don't know if you ever had anybody say this to you, but you probably have if you've ever shared the word. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to say that this is wrong and this is right? Who do you think you are to say that this is a sin? Who do you think you are to say that there's an eternal judgment coming, an eternal punishment of fire and brimstone for those who forsake God and don't obey his word? Who do you think you are? Well, if my answer has always been, if it was just my opinion, I could agree with that, but it's not, because it's not my opinion. It's what the Word says. Jesus believed in the Word so much that he came and fulfilled it. Very often he would say to his disciples, the Scriptures must be fulfilled. Church, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And I see sometimes today that the church seems to want to back away from that. We don't want to offend people. I've heard professed Christians say, well, I'm sure there's many paths to get to God. And the answer is no, there's not. There's only one. Jesus said he was the only way. Now, this in this prayer that we just read, Jesus made almost sounds like a pessimistic statement. He said, I have given them your word in his prayer to the Father. And Jesus is saying, I told them everything you told me to tell you. Tell them. I've given the word to them. And he said, but the world hates them. I know I harp on this a lot, but there is a push in so many churches today to try to get along with the world and compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ because we don't want to offend people. We don't want to make them angry. We want to get them in here. The fact is that the world hates God's word. They hate God. I'm not saying everybody in the world, but the world in general. Who's the God of this world? The devil. The Bible says very plainly that Satan is the god of this world. That means that he is the god by choice and by default. If you're not following God, you're following the devil. I get tickled when I hear people say, nobody's going to tell me how to live. I got news for you, sweet pea. Somebody is telling you how to live. It's either God or it's the devil. You're making a choice one way or the other. If you refuse to follow one, then you're choosing to follow the other. And Jesus said, I'm not asking that you take my people out of this world. We are in enemy territory, but Jesus said, what I'm asking you to do, Father, is to sanctify them by the truth. Sanctify means to set them apart for a holy purpose, God's purpose. And what did he say immediately after that? Your word's truth. You will be challenged as a believer. And you may talk to people that are very intellectual, have a very high training, that will argue language, you know, the language of the Bible. They'll try to tell you that, well, there's contradictions here and there's contradictions there. I've even heard people say science has misproven the Bible. Well, my Bible says that that's falsely so-called science. We have to be established, church, in the truth that God's word is the truth and hang on to that. It doesn't matter what you can tell me or what you think you can prove to me. I know this word is the truth. And it's uncompromising truth. It does not change. We need to take that stance in the world today. Jesus said about his disciples, the world hates them because I've given them the truth. If you remember, his brothers were ragging on him one day. They were going to a feast, and they said, aren't you going? Aren't you going to reveal yourself to the world? And Jesus looked at them and said very plainly, you know, the world doesn't hate you, but it hates me because I bear witness that its deeds are evil. Jesus said to Nicodemus that he came into the world to save the world. He said, God didn't send me here to judge the world, but to save the world. And those who believe, he said, will not perish, but they have everlasting life. But then he said something in verse 18 that I rarely hear mentioned when people want to talk about John 3:16. He said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of the light, and they refuse to come to the light because their deeds will be exposed. Do you know that we're called to be light, church? Not lights in ourselves, light bearers of the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that means we don't try to filter it out. We don't try to adulterate it. We don't try to compromise. We bring the word of God to people in truth, in the entire truth. I'm not concerned with whether people like me or not. I really don't care. And that sounds kind of harsh, but that's how I feel. People say, well, that offends me. Well, get over it. You know, quit wearing your feelings out here on your sleeve and getting offended all the time. And what I hope that the truth will do for people is to shake them up enough to make them get in and dig in for themselves and see if it is the truth or not. You don't have to take something I say as the gospel truth. When I bring you the word, check the word out. See if I'm in line with the word, because there's a lot of false teachers out here today that are teaching in the name of Jesus Christ, but they're contradicting the word of God. They're not teaching the truth. And the sad thing is too many Christians don't want to read the word themselves. Well, let's hear what the preacher has to say, or our Sunday school teacher said, and I agree with that, but they never look for themselves. We live in a country of privilege. I own about 16 different copies of the Bible, not bragging, just over the years I've bought them. And I can look at these anytime I wish. I can have them on anywhere I want in my house, and I don't have to fear somebody coming and taking them away from me. But someday that may change. Someday they may confiscate our Bibles and tell us it's illegal to own them. Is this word hidden in your heart? Do you read the word? Ask yourself this: do I spend more time in the word or in television? The idiot box. We did a study in the Nazarene church. It was called Clean Living in a Dirty World. And one of the men that contributed to the study worked in Hollywood. Worked for one of the big name companies that make pictures and sitcoms on TV. And he said in his essay that they keep these sitcoms at a sixth grade level intentionally because they don't want you thinking for yourself. They want to tell you what's right and what's wrong. And they don't want you to question that. Jesus said, be careful what you put in you, because whatever you put in you in abundance is what's going to come out. If you spend all your time in the world, don't be surprised when you think like the world and when you act like the world. You know, that Charlie Kirk's assassination showed us that the world has reached a place that they think it's okay to react violently if they disagree with you. Jesus asked the Father to protect us from the evil one. But there are people in this world that may set upon you to hurt you. There are so-called religions that will kill in the name of their God if you disagree with what they say. Now, you and I aren't called to do that. We are called to teach the truth, to preach the truth, to share the truth in love. But understand something, not everyone's going to accept that well. That's why I'm not too concerned when people talk about seeker-friendly gospel. Well, you know, we need to love. Yes, we do need to love. That needs to be our motivation for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, for sharing the truth, people, is love. Jesus loved like no one else ever has. But he looked at the teachers of his day and said, how are you going to escape being damned to hell? You teach these lies in the name of God. And people today would say, well, that's bigoted, that's intolerant. In fact, this statement that Jesus made would be considered intolerant and bigoted and narrow-minded today. Your word is truth. Wait a minute, Jesus. We believe in a lot of different truth. It's called moral relativism, which was born in the Garden of Eden. That's where it came from. You know, when the devil told Adam and Eve, God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you'll be just like God, knowing good from evil. I think another implication of that is, in my opinion, was he was saying, you can judge what's good from evil. You don't need God telling you. You'll know what good and evil is. You can call good what you want to call good, and you can call evil what you want to call evil. You'll be God. And that's very appealing to people. And that's one reason people are so easily defensive today. When we present the truth, they go, wait a minute, that's not my truth. This is who I am. How dare you attack me? But it's not an attack against you. God's word is truth. Do you believe that? Do you believe in absolute truth? Yeah, I do too. I share with you, I was working with the youth group, and I talked about absolute truth, and one young man, he's about 17, 18, he said, I don't believe in absolute truth. I said, are you sure about that? He goes, I'm positive. I said, okay, you just made an absolute statement, so evidently you believe that you believe is absolute, what you believe is absolute. He goes, well, okay, yeah, you got me there. But the fact is, there is one truth, and it's Jesus Christ. There is one God, and he is true. He doesn't lie, and he doesn't change his mind. Church, we got to hang on to that. Now, the modes we use to reach people may change. Maybe some of the methods may change. You know, I'm out of touch with the younger people on how to deal with them at times. All I know to do is tell people the truth, especially if they ask. But when they do that, you better plant both your feet and just stand your ground, because you will be attacked. Paul said that when God gave man the law, the whole world became guilty, because the law is truth. God's word is truth. God gave it to the world, and no longer could people say, well, who knows? This is what I think's right. This is what I think's wrong. But Paul said, no, the world became guilty. God gave him the truth and said, here it is. This is who I am. This is what I expect. But moral relativism ruled that day just like it does today. I don't know that they called it by that, but God called it rejecting his word, rejecting his commands. He pronounced a judgment on people that choose to do that. He said, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Now that was God's judgment. And that was to the nation of Israel, who a lot of them chose to do what people do today. I don't believe that. I'm going to decide what's right and wrong. I'm going to decide what's good and evil. And God said, woe to you. He went on to say, behold, all of you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches. Now, then they didn't have flashlights and lanterns as we do. They had oil lamps. They carried torches, fire torches. And God is talking about those who choose to say, I'm going to walk by my light. I'm going to make the call. He says, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. You ever meet people that believe that they know the truth and they have the truth, and they're some of the most miserable people you ever met? They're walking by their light, they're walking by their truth, but they're miserable. Because there's no peace when you reject God. You may claim you have peace, but you don't. You are at odds with him. You are at odds with his word. And God said, you're going to lay down in torment. He had a word of promise to the people of this day who did fear him. He said, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Who's his servant? Jesus Christ. Remember, this is prophecy. God speaking about the servant that was to come. Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. I love that passage, because God is saying, when you're confused and at times you're saying, Lord, I'm not sure what is light. I'm not sure about, is this truth or not? God said, you trust me, I'll tell you. Well, I'm sure glad he does that. Yeah. Because I, in my own power, don't have it figured out. Before I came to Christ, there were things I thought were no big deal. After I came to Christ, I realized I was wrong. Before I came to Christ, there were things I thought was okay. After I came to Christ, I realized, no, they're not. That's what God does. When Jesus said to sanctify us by the truth, and he said, your word is truth, he meant exactly what he said. What is holiness? Holiness is faith in God, faith in his word, and obedience. Living that word as it's revealed to us. It's not how you wear your hair or whether you wear makeup or not or the clothes you wear. Holiness is on the inside. God does a work on the inside of us. Now, hopefully it'll come out. But Jesus, in his prayer, left us with this promise that God's word is the truth, and you and I can trust it. And it's by obeying this truth that we are made holy in the sight of God. The Word of God's going to do two things, church. God said it'll do exactly what He sends it out to do. We will either be justified by it or we'll be condemned by it. There's no middle ground. Jesus told the people of His day, I'm not judging you, but the words I speak will judge you. So see, you can either live by the Word of God or you can die by the Word of God. And the choice is yours and the choice is mine. Now, this message wasn't being brought to be a bummer, but we're talking about following Jesus Christ. These are our guidelines. This is our rule book. This is the conduct. This is the code that we're to go by, is the Word of God. And don't let anyone deceive you like they deceived Eve and say, did God really say? Just stand your ground and say, yes, He did. That's what we're called to do. Jesus said it will make us holy. James, I'll close with this passage in James. He said, humbly, meekly receive the Word of God, because by it, it's going to save your souls. Do you believe that this morning? Boy, I sure hope so. I believe it. Would you stand with me? What a wonderful God we serve, that He didn't say, well, now you believe and you're on your own. He left us His book. I encourage you, spend as much time as you can in this book. Don't be in a hurry to get through it. Meditate on it. Think about what you read. Pray about it. That's some of the best prayers I've ever had for me, prayer sessions, is to read God's Word and then pray about what I read. And sometimes your prayers are just thank you prayers. When you read His promises to you, it's just thank you so much. And I really believe for me, it develops my faith. It builds my faith. Trouble's coming, church. The tribulation is coming. The great tribulation that we read about in Revelation, it's coming. And that will not be the time that you want to try to find your Bible and read it and see what it says so you can stand. You need to be reading it now. You need to accept this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and rest in that assurance that God's going to guide you. God's going to look out for you, and He is going to make you holy because that's His will for you.